Seeing pressure across grain and livestock trade on Thursday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Zach Hooker with Comstock Investments joins us for our market analysis. And Zach, let's start with the grains and oil seeds. Pretty tough day there Thursday. Soybeans, the downside leader. Chicago KC wheat, not far behind. Corn also down a little bit as well. There's been a lot of chatter about U.S.-China relations out there on Thursday, etc. What do you see in driving this trade overall through Thursday?
Yeah, Jesse, the grains have definitely taken it on the chin so far today, with soybeans down nearly 30 cents at one time, corn down a nickel, and all classes of wheat following suit. This appears as of now to be due kind of to profit taking after an impressive run up lately with corn, wheat, and beans trading to higher levels than we've seen for some time. Of course, we won't know for sure if it's profit taking until we kind of establish some support, but right now, when we've been trading to these impressive levels, you do expect to see some occasional pullback. And then on a day like today, when all the grains are under pressure for soybeans and wheat to be down double digits and corn to only be down 5 cents, you wonder a bit if that is kind of a positive sign for corn, but we'll have to see how that plays out over the next few days.
Well, and to your point about, kind of seeing how this profit-taking shakes out more, I know in the case of beans, the big run-up and whatnot into the 11s, but we kind of hit some pretty key technical resistance areas, and it's not surprising to see us correct back down as we couldn't really hold the push through it here, it seems, Zach.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we've made, close to, even more than a dollar move, and over the past several weeks, and When you have that kind of upward movement, I mean, it's healthy to see some pullback occasionally. And, as much as some people want us to just go straight up, it's the same thing that we've seen in the cattle throughout the summer, right? Was just occasionally you get these big moves down and it feels, like it's doing some major damage at the time. But when you step back and look at a weekly chart, look at where you're actually heading, it kind of helps you to gather your thoughts a little bit.
Well, and, thinking big picture, of course, everything with U.S.-China relations, we don't have anything signed yet. I know there's been rumors in the news wires on Thursday about wheat and sorghum sales to China, but nothing on soybeans yet, things like that. I know just, looking at this from a big picture perspective, there's still plenty of certain uncertainty out here across this grain and oilseed trade is how I would put it, Zach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, China remains the big question. We saw them buy some soybeans, which of course caused some optimism in the soybean futures last week. And then they even bought some corn and wheat, which was positive. It seemed like less of an actual economic purchase and more of kind of a political good faith purchase. We'll take it either way, but it's important to differentiate between those things, I think, when looking at sustained demand, as our grains are still, priced higher than some of our competitors on the global marketplace. We're still dealing with the U.S. government shutdown now. That's that's 37th day. And so whether we're talking grains or livestock, we're really starting to miss out on some of the data in the form of, whether it's commitment of traders report, other USDA production, export data, which leaves some questions that we will welcome the answers to whenever this shutdown does end. No, and then, you move to South America and weather looks to be cooperative for planning down there and in the near future. Now, they were put slightly behind due to some inconsistent weather over the past week or two, but looking in the forecast, that's positive as well. So we've got a lot of moving parts going on here, a lot to watch and look at, across the world.
Let's shift over and let's talk livestock trade. Cattle, I know we came into Thursday with expanded limits in both fats and feeders, not taking full advantage of that, thankfully, but still more pressure in feeder cattle, mixed trade in live cattle on the day. As you examine this whole complex, I know there's a lot of rumors out there about the Mexico border, et cetera. There's just more volatility continuing in this cattle trade here through midweek and towards the back half of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, both cattle and hogs have remained under pressure today. You mentioned the limit lower move yesterday, and so we were working with expanded limits today, but we have not tested those. We did make a pretty swift move lower at the open, but we've not gone down to that, $13 range in the feeders that we saw hit multiple times last week, which could indicate that, hey, maybe we're nearing the end of this sell-off, but clearly the funds are hesitant to jump in and buy with all the stuff we've got going on. We saw them kind of defend their long position several times over the past couple months, And it just doesn't seem like they're comfortable at these price levels doing so. You've got the, like you mentioned, the Mexican border, which we were supposed to hear something about a meeting yesterday with Secretary Rawlins, and we have yet to hear anything about that. It was just going to be in D.C., but it sounds like either that did not happen or it was a non-event in terms of just kind of an update meeting with the administration. And then you've got this administration's desire and vocalization that they wish to lower food prices and beef prices being one of the key points that they've talked about. And I think you just see some hesitance to buy. And that's evident as you see some of these deferred feeder contracts, really outpacing the front months in terms of how fast they're falling.
One thing that I'm curious about, I'd love your perspective on this, is we see all the volatility in futures. Cash trade, though, you're starting to get that divergence again with cash still at fairly lofty levels. It looks like we're maybe coming down a little bit this week with some of the early trade that's developed. But, you know, the divergence between futures and cash, this is something we saw several months ago in this cattle complex, and now it's kind of coming back around. And I guess that's something I'm curious to watch over the next several weeks ahead. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the cash prices have really kind of been what's kept this thing in check in terms of some of the potential for huge sell-offs that we could have seen. Like we talked about, the live cattle have been mixed for most of the day, and I think right now they're mostly lower. But yeah, we've seen that mixed action throughout the day, and a lot of that is just due to cash fat cattle have not been trading we haven't seen nearly the loss in value that we've seen in some of these futures contracts. I think we were at about a $10 or $11 premium yesterday in the cash, and then in the feeder cattle. I mean, sale barns, depending on the day and the time of day and how many days we've been lower in the futures, feeder cattle have been trading pretty well and selling pretty well in sale barns across the country. Now it kind of depends on who's going to call whose bluff, right? You've got the when futures are having a hard down day or multiple in a row, how long are guys going to be confident that this market is going to continue? And when you start to get some buyers and sale barns that are questioning whether or not they can get those cattle hedged at a place they're comfortable with, that's when you start to see those cash prices and the feeder cattle index fall as well. And I believe after 3 days of consistent lower action, it's probably about time for to see some more pullback in the sale barns. But you're right, the cash prices have definitely kept the futures in check to a certain extent.
Well, great thoughts, Zach. Anything final you would mention or reiterate to folks as we wrap up Thursday's market trade?
Oh man, I don't know if I have any major final thoughts other than just remember that there's more to life than some of these red lines that we see on the screen. I know it's tough when we get some of these days that are a lot of red on the screen. Just walk outside and watch the grass grow and take a little breath.
That's a good advice. Good advice. Of course, we always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Zach, if folks want to talk with you there at Comstock Investments, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, they can go to our website at comstock.com or they can call us at any time at 712-227-1110.
With that, Zach Hooker, Comstock Investments, thanks for joining us on today's market wrap-up. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once again, Zach Hooker, Comstock Investments, and learn more at Comstock.com. That's going to do it for the Thursday, November 6th market wrap-up here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.